Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Tezvav. We're holding the third, fourth line from the top of the Amid. Ella Omer of Ashi, Rabbi Yehuda de Mavashalhi. You'll all recall that we had a bit of a dilemma yesterday, trying to figure out which Rabbi Yehuda is the one that the Talmidim said that was the basis of Rav's understanding in the Mishnah. So let's just go back for one moment to daf Yud Dalet Amid Aleph. We're at the top of the Amud. We had a Shoich b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. Somebody Chas v'Sholom Shechter on Shabbos of Yom Kippur. Alpha Pisha Mischai ben Afsha. Even though this is something that Chas v'Sholom, the punishment is Rachman Litzlan, either death or at least Koreis. Nevertheless, Shchitos Ekshei, the Shchita is kosher. So you're allowed to eat from this behemoth that was Gishachter. But then Rav Huna told us b'Shem Chir Barav, in the name of Rav, that you cannot eat it that day. Asura b'achila liyoyma. Certainly not in Yom Kippur, that goes without saying. But even that Shabbos, you're not allowed to go and eat from the behemoth that was geshochten that day. And then the Gemara said, the Nazan Chavraya and the Talmidei Yeshiva said, because Rav is interpreting our Mishnah in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said you cannot eat that day. And then the Gemara asked, which Rabbi Yehuda? And we went through three or four different Rabbi Yehudas in Shas, and each time the Gemara said, nah, not that Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have the final Rabbi Yehuda that's finally going to be the answer to our question. Eli Omer Ravashi, back to Tezvav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda de Mavashel, the famous Rabbi Yehuda of Mavashel. Who's Rabbi Yehuda Mavashel? Not Ham Mavashel b'Shabbos. So it's almost like our case, except that we were talking about her Shoichet b'Shabbos, and here we're talking about her Mivashel b'Shabbos. Later down the Amud, the Gemara is in fact make a distinction between the two, but initially the Gemara says, or Gemara assumes, that they're exactly the same, because both Bishul and Shabbos and Shchit and Shabbos are Lamites Molochis. So they're both terribly osir, terrible punishment. So what does it say? Person went and cooked on Shabbos. So we have a three-way machlekes, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yochanan HaSandler, as well as each one makes a distinction between Shoigeg and Mezid, and as we'll see, there will also be distinctions between the person himself that committed the Bishul on Shabbos, and everybody else. We're going to have to look in the Rashis from time to time, because a lot of the words seem to be basically the same. But when you see Mishnah and Rashi's, there are, in fact, differences. Oh, is it not? So which date in the Mishnah? Mavashel b'Shabbos. A person cooked on Shabbos and he cooked b'shogeg. B'shogeg, he didn't mean it, didn't realize. He thought it was Friday, he thought it was Sunday. He didn't know. What's the din? Yoichal. You're allowed to go and eat it. Who's allowed to go and eat it? Rashi says, Hu atzmoi, uboi v'yoim, and v'shteitzach achrini, and v'shteitzach after Shabbos. In other words, because this person innocently was over this Isser B'Shogeg. So basically, nothing happened vis-a-vis the kashrus of this item, and you'd be allowed to go and eat it on Shabbos itself, him and everybody else, and Kolshkein after Shabbos. No question. So obviously, this cannot be the Makoyer of Rav, because Rav said, if you shoichet b'Shabbos, you cannot eat it that day. And says Rameyan, no. Mavashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg yoichal. Rashi says uboi b'yoyim, even that day. But let's continue, Rameyan. B'meizid lo yoichal, but not b'meizid. Now, what does that mean? B'meizid lo yoichal. Says Rashi lo yoichal boi b'yoyim. I'm skipping to the next Rashi, about 10 lines, 12 lines in. Lo yoichal boi b'yoyim ad she techshoch ubechdei shiyasu. When we say that you cannot eat on Shabbos, that doesn't mean right after Havdalah. Okay. Take out the food and let's start eating it. No, what you got to do is you have to wait. B'chdei shiyasu. B'chdei shiyasu means, since we do not want to have any hano'ah from the violation of Shabbos, so you have to go and wait the amount of time that would have taken to go and be mavashel whatever you cooked. So you cooked a piece of roast beef and it took you 25 minutes, whatever, after Havdalah is over, wait 25 minutes. And then you can go and take that piece of roast beef, so you shouldn't have any hanor from the malacha that was done on Shabbos. So this is, says Remeir, is b'meizid lo yoichal, boi b'yoim ad she techshach And this doesn't only apply to him, this applies to everyone. Hu hadin l'achirim nami, says Rashi, also l'mechle boi b'yoyim, because we don't want to have any hanof from the commission of the Isur. Okay, so based on what we've learned it just now, so according to Meir b'shoigig, everybody's allowed to go and eat, even that Shabbos itself, no problem. But as b'meizid, everybody's got to wait until after Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, they're not allowed to eat. Oh, so that being the case, l'choira, we could have said that Rav was referring to Reb Meir when he said that you can't eat boy b'yoyim. Now note that the Mishnah Daf Yedalet Omer Aleph doesn't say whether we're talking b'shoigig or whether we're talking b'meizid. So therefore, we could have said that the Mishnah is talking about b'meizid. In fact, the Loshana Mishnah suggests that we're talking b'meizid because it says that the person is meschayiv b'nafshoy. And if he's doing it b'shoigig, he doesn't get skila, he doesn't get kareis. So therefore, l'choir, it's talking about b'meizid. And if it's talking about b'meizid, then this would stim very nicely like Reb Meir. That Reb Meir says that since this person cooked on Shabbos b'meizid, you're not allowed to eat. Nobody's allowed to eat on that day on Shabbos, but you got to wait until Matzah Shabbos b'chtei shiyasu.
It's interesting that they make the meizid wait till k'day shiyasu.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to mechal Shabbos and cook on Shabbos, why would he care to wait? If it's the same person, the same ensign, let's say that same Shabbos, he's amazed. He's not repentant at all.
But Rashi notice says not only that he v'adin lachirim nami. Okay. It's aser. Then not only can you not eat it that day, you got to wait until Matzah Shabbos until ad she b'chtei shiyasu. Yes, Robert. I think you have a question.
I have difficulty understanding the das of Reb Meir. How come he's so metal? Because it is here a few chatos. Akorpanim, a bishul that happens during Shabbos Kodesh.
Mm-hmm.
That carries the penalty of a chatos at least.
Right.
How come he permits boy b'yoyim kulam lahenois mimenu?
According to Reb Meir holds that you now have a hanof from the commission of an isur, a commission of an avera, the type of commission that would rise to the level of being punished. The fact that this person is b'shoigig, he could be a wonderful erlich atayr yid, but that morning he woke up with a headache and he thought it was Friday, or he thought it was Sunday. So it was an innocent mistake on his part. It's true. 100% is chayv chatos. But that chayv chatos is not a punishment. That chayv chatos is a kapara for the shogig that he made. Says Reb Meir, avad and avad, people should be very careful, b'shoigigs, and these things should not happen. However, if chas v'shalom it did happen, it doesn't aser eating the food. Just like you eat a matzah Shabbos, you can even eat it on Shabbos itself. That's Reb Meir's view. But Reb Yehuda obviously disagrees, and Reb Yehuda says, No, even b'shoigig you're not allowed to eat on that Shabbos. Now, to my understanding, the reason why it's aser is not min ha-toyra, it's aser midrabanan. That the Rabbanan just want to make people careful about doing anything on Shabbos. They shouldn't think next time, I have a good idea. Let me go and wake up late Shabbos morning. I'll act as if I don't know what's going on. I thought it's Friday. I thought it's Sunday. Sunday, always sleep late anyway. Instead of coming to davening 7 o'clock, I come in 7:05. So this Shabbos, I'm going to go and stay a little bit longer, etc., in bed, and I'm going to act as if it's all a shogeg, and we'll be able to cook, and all the rest. And so they want us to make sure that people are not lax in their caring for Shabbos, and the Isurim for Shabbos. So Reb Meir says, if it's a shogeg, it's a genuine shogeg. Nope, people make mistakes. Says Reb Yehuda, no, Chum had to put on a special Isur to make sure you don't make such mistakes in the future, because you shouldn't have any hanoah from even the commission of this Isser, even though it was only b'shagim. So continuing on with Rebuta. So far what we have concluded is yes, Reb Meir, and we noted that l'choira, one could have said that our Mishnah of yesterday is talking about b'meizid, and if so, then Rav was not necessarily referring to Reb Yehuda, could be he was referring to Reb Meir. And he's learning that our Mishnah is talking about a meizid situation where everybody agrees, according to Reb Meir, that on Shabbos, No one is allowed to eat boy bayayim. You got to wait until Matzah Shabbos. The reason why I note that is because the Gemara is going to ask that kasha in another few lines. But let's go now to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shoygig yoichel Matzah Shabbos. You're talking about if he did it b'shoygig, then you cannot go and eat it on Shabbos itself. Like Robert was so sensitive to this commission of this Isur, even though it was only an Isur B'shoigig. Abalamaisa was Asur. You got to bring a Karm Chatos. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? B'shoigig Yoichal L'Matzah Shabbos. Now, who are we referring to? Rashi says we're referring to not only to him himself, but Utul Achrini for everybody else. Anyone and everyone that sees this delicious food that was just cooked on Shabbos, and you smell the aroma and you say, "Ooh, I'd love to eat this at the Kiddush on Shabbos," says Rabbi Yehuda, since it was cooked on Shabbos itself, even though it was only done by Shoigig, nobody's allowed to eat from it, not he and no one else. That's what Rashi almost halfway down. Rabbi Yehuda, "Oim b'Shoigig, yoichel matzah Shabbos." V'loy b'Shabbos. V'adin li'achrini, the same thing applies not only to him, but to everybody else, you can't eat it on Shabbos. You have to wait b'chdei shiyasu on Matzah Shabbos. Oh, so this is l'choira the Rabbi Yehuda that the Nazvin Chavrin said yesterday. This is the makoir of Rav when he said in the Mishnah, "Don't eat it on Shabbos." Continuing, Rabbi Yehuda Vaita says b'mezid. What happens if the cooking took place b'mezid? Oy, Rachman Litzlan. This fellow that went and cooked it on Shabbos, he should never eat any more from this meat. We don't mean that he has to fast for the rest of his life, and that therefore he should die from fasting. Means he is not allowed to eat from this cooked piece of meat that he cooked on Shabbos. B'mezid. I'm sorry? B'mezid. And therefore, now the question is, does this also apply to everybody else? So Rashi has a discussion about this. Initially, Rashi says the avgab the shoygi chiv skila v'ayid the boy lemisi seif liyoychal lomis b'didei avul achrini shori. Rashi concludes over here that only he is not allowed to eat it forever. However, other people that were not involved in this commission of the yisur, innocent third party bystanders, they would be able to go and eat it b'mezid. I'm sorry, eat it matzah Shabbos. Even though it was cooked b'mezid, but again they have to wait b'chdei shiyasu, so they should not have any hanor from the commission of that iser on Shabbos.
There's nothing like mitzvah b'aveira.
Absolutely, it's not a mitzvah at all. It's just an aveira b'aveira.
I'm saying the fact that you're eating, you're going to say a bracha, but it came from being.
That's almost like saying you can go and buy chazir because it's mitzvah b'aveira. You're going to make a bracha on it. Shahakol niyeh b'dvaroi, even though you're eating a shikluch. I'm sure you didn't mean to go that far, right?
No.
Exactly, of course not. So mitzvah b'aveira, the fact that the people, you're certainly not allowed to go and cook it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos b'mezid. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos b'shoyi. What the Gemara is telling us is that Rabbi Yehuda said that even in the case of a shoygig that he made, a terrible error, a terrible mistake, and this person is crying over his error, and he said, "This is the first time in my life that it was ever even on Shabbos, and I'm so upset, it's terrible. Therefore, don't eat it that day." But what's a Shabbos? You're allowed to go and eat it after Kadesh Shiyasu, because I'm no longer having Hanoah from the performance of this Isra on Shabbos, because it's got to take me 35 minutes to go and cook. I waited 35 minutes. This is Rabbi Yehuda. So, bottom line is, before we finish, this is the Rabbi Yehuda that we've been looking for all along. He is the mystery man, so to speak, that holds that if you went and cooked bishogeg on Shabbos, nobody's allowed to have a no on that Shabbos. And therefore, by extension, the same thing applies to shechting on Shabbos. No one's allowed to have any no from that shechita on Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Oime, third shechita. B'shoygeg yoichel matzah Shabbos la'achirim v'loy loy. B'mezid lo yoichel oylomis loy loy v'loy la'achirim. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is telling us in somewhat of a subtle and perhaps polite fashion that when we're talking about the person that committed the isur, whether it was b'shoygeg or b'mezid, he's never allowed to eat from that he cooked that Shabbos. God is with a shoygig, amazing. He cannot eat it on Shabbos. He cannot eat it Matzah Shabbos. He can never eat it. As far as Acherim are concerned, they have to wait until Matzah Shabbos, but after Matzah Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos, they can already eat it. So therefore, on Shabbos itself, no one is allowed to eat from it, neither he nor anyone else. When it comes Matzah Shabbos, then the others can eat it, but he still cannot eat it. Now, based on that understanding, the Choyer, the Mishnah, could go according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler as well, Bishoygeg, because Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that Bishoygeg, nobody's allowed to eat it on Shabbos. That's why Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler says, Bishoygeg Yochanan Matzah Shabbos. Who can eat a Matzah Shabbos? Achayim v'loiloi. But on Shabbos, no one. Zero. Gunish. Oh, so that could be the Makor for Rav as well. That when Rav said, make sure don't eat it on Shabbos, that's Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler speaking. So the Gemara is going to ask that as well. Why do you say it has to be Rabbi Yehuda? L'chayda could be Remeir in the case of Mezid, or a case of Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler in the case of Shogeg. And we're going to see that momentarily. Break the Gemara. So with this, we can put two dots. We've now concluded the Mishnah, and by definition, we've also concluded that we found the missing Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda de Mavashel that holds up Bishoygig. Nobody's allowed to eat it on Shabbos. We can only talk about after Shabbos, B'chdei Shiasu, and that's Rav that said, B'yoy Mitzasim. Freit Demora, why do you assume that it has to be Rabbi Yehuda v'noig b'meizid for a mayor? It could be Remeir, and we're talking about Mezin in our Mishnah. And remember, we said according to Remeir, what did Remeir say? Even on Shabbos itself, but if it's mezid, don't eat it on Shabbos. But you can eat it Matzah Shabbos. Everybody, both the mevashel and everybody else. So maybe that's our Mishnah according to Rav. Rav that said you're not allowed to eat it that day. It's talking about mezid, and it's Remeir. Everything more loisol kadaita. No, that cannot be the pshat. Diktani, because since the Mishnah puts together Shabbos and Yom Kippur, Diktani do meet Yom Kippurim. My Yom Kippurim leishnav b'shogiv leishnav b'meizid loy achil. Obviously, when it comes to Yom Kippur, nobody can eat, regardless of whether the cooking was done b'shogiv b'meizid. Gunish. Afachanami leishnav b'shogiv leishnav b'meizid loy achil. Then, under all circumstances, you're not allowed to go and eat it on Shabbos. And since Remeir said, Hamavashel b'Shabbos b'Shoygig yoichal, even on Shabbos itself, that would be a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And since our Mishnah puts the two together, it's trying to tell us, no. The Shabbos and Yom Kippur have the same din for these purposes. And what's these purposes? That you're not allowed to go and eat it on that Shabbos according to Rav. Where did Rav take it from? It cannot be that he took it from Remeir, because Remeir says, B'shoygeg, you're allowed to eat on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to if it's Yom Kippur. And Shabbos has the same din, based on the fact that Rebbe put it together in the Mishnah. Frank Dimara, Umi Motzes Mukmes Lo B'shoygeg, for Rebbe Yehuda, Va'afel Pi Shemeschai Ben Nafshei K'toni. Let's look at the Loshon HaMishnah. The Mishnah says a person is Shoychet B'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, even though he's Meschai Ben Nafshei, Shitos is K'sheira. Mischai ben Afshei sounds like even though he's going to get the death penalty, either Skila, he's going to take get Misa Bidei Bezdin, Bidei Odom, or if it's Kares, by Yom Kippur, he'll get Bidei Shemoyim. Doesn't sound like we're talking about a Shoygig, it sounds like we're talking about a Mezid situation. Zokti Mahochi Kamar, you have to understand the Mishnah in the following manner. Even though had he committed the Shechita of our Mishnah, b'meizid, then chas v'shalom he would take get misa. Hachad b'shoygig. Here that it was not meizid, it was only a shoygig. Therefore shchitos ekshera. That's why you're allowed to eat from the shchita, but not on Shabbos. Says Rav, only after Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, after Kadesh Yas. So therefore, our Mishnah does shtim like Rabbi Yehuda, even though it does not shtim like the Reb Meir. But let's go now. V'noik mikra b'yechana sandler. The omer loishna b'shoigig, v'loishna b'mezid, loy achil. After all, Rabbi Yehuda Sandler was very, very strong. He is the most chomer of all of these three mandi amrim. And he says when it comes to Shabbos, it makes no difference. Shoigig, mezid, shoigig. No one should even think about eating it on Shabbos. Oh, so then this would stem very nicely with the fact that the Mishnah brought Shabbos and Yom Kippurim together, that no one is allowed to eat it on Shabbos, whether it was Shoygig, whether it was Mezid. So it can go like Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler. Zogti Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan HaSlandler, kamaflik b'motzei Shabbos l'achirim v'loy loy. Tani didon shkitosik sheirik tani, loishna loy v'loishna l'achirim. Says our Gemara, vis-a-vis Rav's halacha, that you're not allowed to go and eat ba'oise yoin, yes, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would work perfectly just like Rabbi Yehuda. That you cannot eat on that Shabbos, sai b'shoigik, sai b'mezit, you're 100% right. But vis-a-vis the Mishnah, we'd have a problem. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Shchitosik Sheira. Shchitosik Sheira sounds like everybody in Klal Yisrael is allowed to go and eat from this Shchita. You can't eat today, says Rav, but you can eat Motzei Shabbos. You can't eat right after Abdullah. You got to wait for B'chdei Shiyasu. But then everybody can eat. But that's not the halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that that perpetrator, the person who, unfortunately, in our Brais or this Mishnah cooked, or in our Mishnah of yesterday, he did a Shechita, he's not allowed to have a no lo yoichel oilomis ever again. No, never, 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 never. But our Mishnah says Shechitosik Sheira, which sounds like it's kosher for everybody. Ketani lo yishno loiv lo yishno lachayim. That's why that pshat would be a difficult pshat according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, but it works very nicely according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have concluded the mystery, and we, Baruch Hashem, we have solved it and resolved it by identifying Rabbi Yehuda de Mavasho. But we're not finished with the sugi yet. We're going to continue talking about this further, but not in connection with the Mishnah, but in connection with the following story. What was the story? Toni Tanaka made the Rav, that was one of the Talmidim of Rav, was repeating this brisa, and he was saying this as halacha. In other words, he's quoting it as if it's in Shulchan Aruch. What did he say? Hamavashul b'Shabbes b'Shoigig yoichal b'Meizid lo yoichal. Now, if you note back in the Mishnah that we quoted at the top on the fifth line, Hamavashul b'Shabbes b'Shoigig yoichal b'Meizid lo yoichal. That's word for word, Rameir. So this Talmud of Rav is quoting from that first part of the Mishnah accurately, meticulously, just like Rameir.
And that's saying Divrei Rameir. He's kind of a
maniac. It's true. We're not finished yet. Zokti Mora. Pella, Pilipoloim, amazing! Umashikli Rav, and Rav said, shh, quiet. Don't say that. Don't repeat that. Frank Timur, my time mashikli. Well, what did he do wrong? He was Machal Shabbos Chasher. What's in the Gitan? Why mashikli? Elaine Mishim Nisvir Lake Rabbi Yehuda. Is it because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Like we see that he set Zetstein yesterday's Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. Vitana and this Talmud, Tony Kremeir. Let me ask you, Mishim Nesvira Lei Kerev Yehuda, Mandatoni Kerev Meir, Mashdik Lei, just because you happen to be on the side of Rabbi Yehuda, and this Talmud wants to pass like Rabbi Meir, you know, Rabbi Meir, Godel Hadar, you know, he's not, you know, Rabbi Smith from the minor leagues. This is one of the greatest tzaddikim and kedoshim and tanoim that we ever had. Virtually every Mishnah in Shas is Kerev Meir. So Mashdik Lei, don't say anything, Shah. That doesn't make sense. What he could have said is, Shkoyich for telling me Rameir, we don't pass like Rameir, but not mashtikli. V'oid meh, mi sova lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, does Rav really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Remember, we didn't say that Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. All we said was that when Rav learned the Mishnah of yesterday, he said, Daloch is, but you cannot go and eat that day, because that's, and the Nazman Chavrin, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Not necessarily does Rav hold that that's l'haloch l'maisim. Well, we're going to talk about that momentarily. Void mi sova lo k'Rabbi Yehuda v'omer Rav Chanan bar Ami, ki mor lehu Rav l'talmidei, when Rav was learning privately with his Talmidim, and they would ask such a question. You know what? Somebody, by accident, unfortunately, shechted on Shabbos. It was a total mistake, a total error. This person otherwise is a tzaddik yisod oylam, and remember, he made a mistake. What happened? Ki mor lehu Rav l'talmidei, mor lehu k'Rabbi. He said, you know, if it was really a bona fide shoigig and everybody knows that this is an erlich yid mafursim in his erlichkeit, then you're allowed to go and eat it if he shechted it b'shoigig on Shabbos itself. Or if they cooked it on Shabbos, you can go and cook it, and you can, not, you can't cook it, but you can go and eat it on Shabbos itself. V'chidorish v'pirka, however, when he gave a drosha v'perik, that means, for instance, by the Yarche Kala, where you had hundreds, if not thousands, of people listening to his drosha, then Dorish Rabbi Yehuda, then he would be machmir like Rabbi Yehuda and say, b'shoigig, don't even think of eating it on Shabbos. Why Mishim Ami Aretz? He was afraid that the Am Aretz, if they're going to come back home and tell their wives, you know, we heard that just by an accident somebody cooked in Shabbos, you're allowed, Oh, you're allowed to eat on Shabbos? Really, really? And the wife won't hear that by accident or bishogeg. She'll just assume, we heard from the great Rav, the greatest scholar in his generation. He said that you're allowed to go and eat it even on Shabbos itself. Mistakes happen, unfortunately. Maybe I'll ask the goita. Yeah, that's like making a mistake. She's not Jewish and she cooked on Shabbos. So one thing can lead to the next. So you got to be careful when you're darshening bepirka. You got to be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda. So Ibazoi, this is further proof that Rav did not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He really held like Rabbi Meir, and that's why when he was talking to his talmidim, if they asked him privately a shaila, he would pass him like Rabbi Meir. So because this Tana went, this Talmud said like Rabbi Meir, Mashukei Shah, sure, still. Why do you have to go and still? Rav himself holds that. Elamai, you're going to tell me v'chiteima Tana bepirke Tana kamei. You know what? Maybe this incident happened in the middle of the Perek Shir, where he's talking to the hundreds or thousands of Talmidim, including many Amir. What happened?
What? Someone gave me a big kiss.
I see. Okay. Next time, ask him. It shouldn't be a bitter kiss.
Scarface.
Wow.
It's like Halacha Ve'im Morin King type thing.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Right. The pasuk Atorois Nishikois Soine. The Atorah, the crown that you have now on your face, looks like, based on your description, Neshikoi Soine of a kiss of one of your adversaries.
That's like when Yaakov met Esav.
Exactly right. I hope you didn't meet any Esavs in the street.
No.
Okay, so let's go back.
Many fine people along the way.
So let's continue on.
That's another story for another time.
Exactly. So getting back to our Gemara now. Maybe you're going to go and say, when was Rav Mashtik this Talmud? Tana Bepirke, Tana Kamei. Because this Tana stood up in the middle of the shir and he said, Rabbi Sai, I'm going to tell you the halacha. What's the halacha? And he repeated word for word without mentioning Rameir's name. But he just said, and maybe that's the reason why Rav got agitated. And he said, Shah, 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 because since we're Bepirke, I want to tell everybody the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rameir.
What about Mora halacha bishnei Rabbo?
This fellow?
Yeah.
This is all a havamina. We are going to quickly say, no, this
dispel
was not the
it?
Case. You were going to quickly dispel the challenge. Exactly. For Chitayim, maybe you're going to go and tell me, Bepirke, Tana Kamei, Frank the Gemara, even were this to occur, you think everybody's listening to this Talmud who gets up in the middle and he's Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabo, as you say? Everybody's listening to the Amoira. Now, this Amoira over here, we don't mean Amoiroim compared to Tanoim. We mean they're listening to the loudspeaker, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? The Gemara tells us in a number of places that when the Shir was given out of doors, outside, it was difficult to hear.
It had to be amplified.
And typically the rabbis of the Gemara, whether it's Tanoim or Amiroim, didn't have such a powerful voice.
Right.
So therefore they used to have someone who had a powerful voice, and they would feed him the information for the shir. So Rav would go and tell him quietly, Rav, and then the Amir would go and say, like with a loudspeaker, so that everybody should be able to hear. So everybody was very carefully churning their ears to hear what the Amoira had to say. And when you had this Talmud in the middle, they probably would also be mashim. Shasha, we want to hear what the Amoira has to go and say. So therefore, that is not the situation where Rav was mashtik him. If that's the case, why did Taka Rav go and say to this Talmud, This is what Rameir said. Everything went on by Yitzhak. Tana shoychit tana kamei de Rav. We missed out on one word. It wasn't that he said hamavashul b'shabbes b'shoygig. He said ashoychit b'shabbes b'shoygig. Oh, ashoychit b'shabbes b'shoygig yoichal b'meizel la yoichal. And that's when Rav said he started shushing him. Freit the Gemara. We still haven't answered our question. Why are we shushing? After all, the first 10-20 minutes of today's shir, we equated the shoychet with the mevashel. That was how we got to our final solution. Who was the missing Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbi Yehuda of mevashel. Amalei. So now Rav is explaining to this Talmud why he shushed him. My daita k'rameir. You want to go and paskal k'rameir? I come like a shor k'rameir el b'mevashel the ro'i lokus. What the Gemara is now introducing is that until now we were only focusing on the commission of the Isur of either the Shechita or the Bishul on Shabbos. So now you're having Hana'ah from this Malacha that was done on Shabbos. Uh-huh. When can you have Hana'ah? When can you not have Hana'ah? Are we talking on Shabbos? Are we talking about Matzah Shabbos?
Is it a sin of commission?
A sin of commission, exactly right. So, and you're not allowed to have Hana'ah from that sin of commission. So, that was the whole discussion until now. But now the Gemara says there's another issue as well. Not an issue d'araisa, but an issue d'rabbanan of muktzah. What means muktzah? It's what the Gemara called yesterday hachana. That you can only go and not only eat, but you can only touch something on Shabbos when it was ra'oi to be touched from before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. If, however, when Shabbos entered, this thing was muktzah, it remains muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. And so therefore, ad kan le'kasher re'meir ele b'mavashel d'ro'i lokus. Lokus means to go and chew, which means that even though it was not cooked yet, but on Friday night, when you looked at it in the raw meat in the refrigerator, you could have chewed it. Would it have been very tasty?
No.
Not for me. Those that love the uncooked raw fish in sushi presumably could live with a sushi type of situation with a piece of meat. So therefore, it's ra'oi lokus. You can chew it. The Rashi says whenever you're eating shaloi kedarka, the Gemara calls it koses or lokus. Rashi brings a raya from other Gemaras and brachas and from Yuma that you went and you chewed something like chewing gum. That's not eating, that's chewing. Here too, you can't really eat it normally under normal circumstances, but it's ra'oi lokus. Since it's ra'oi lokus, it's considered to be muchan in the sense that it's not muktzah. Since it's not muktzah, obviously, normally you wouldn't have eaten on Shabbos because you're not allowed to cook it on Shabbos. But in the case where you actually did cook it on Shabbos, and you cooked it, whether it's b'shogeg according to Meir, whether you cooked it b'mezer according to Rabbi Yehuda, but l'maisa, you're only dealing with the iser of the cooking of the bishul, says Rav to this Talmud, but you forgot about the iser mukta, which is a separate iser that you have to be concerned about. So therefore, according to Rav Meir, that you paskin, that you can go and be mevashel, that's okay. That wouldn't be so gefährlich. Because even I hold like Rav Meir, the Gemara said. I'm not going to darshan of a pirka, but the Talmidim asked me, I paskin like Rav Meir. But that's only by case of bishul. Because in the case of bishul, it was not muktzah. Because one could have chewed it and eaten it b'shas adchak on Shabbos, even if it's not cooked. Masha enken, you're talking about shoichet b'shabbos. Shoich b'Shabbos any roi lokus. You were not able to go and chew this meat on Erev Shabbos because it was still Avram Menachai. It wasn't geshachted.
It's not a Jewish thing to do.
It's not a Jewish thing to do, exactly. So therefore says, that's the reason why Rav shushed him. He said, if you would have said mevashel, I wouldn't say a word. If you would say yashoichet, which is what you said, you're forgetting about that there's a Isra Muktzah because it was not roi lokus at the beginning of Shabbos and therefore, you know, that he's. Frank Timurva Masis in the shoichet who? Didn't our Mishnah that we learned yesterday, it's a shoichet, it doesn't say mevashel, it's a shoichet. V'yam Rav Huna, dorash chir barav, mishmei derav, our very rav, asura b'achil liyoyma, you're not allowed to go and eat it that day. Okay, so far so good, that's what we said. V'nazim chavrai lemeimed Rabbi Yehudi, and all the chavarim said, that was Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the mysterious Rabbi Yehuda that we finally found. Oh, it goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. It is the chmashma, it's Rabbi Yehuda that asers b'yoyma. It's the chmashma, Rabbi Meir is shari, that Rabbi Meir would be mater b'yoyma. Based on what you just told me now, Rabbi Meir is only mater b'yoyma by mevashel, because it was not an issa mukta. But by shoichet, he would also agree that it's aser. So why did we go and struggle for the last day and a half to try to figure out that Rav is going according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rav could even go according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would also hold that it's aser liyoyma, if you're talking about a case of shechita, because it was not roi lokus, it was mukta when Shabbos entered. Everything marki shari, Rabbi Meir, when Rav said that this only goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it doesn't go according to, not that Rav said that Befeirish, it's the Nazan Chavraya that said that Rav is going according to Rabbi Yehuda and not according to Meir, because they were zetzing either the Mishnah talking about Kishori and Meir, Kigoyim, it's talking about Shehoyle, Choyle Meboy Joyim, it's talking about talking about that it was unfortunately somebody in the family who was a chole misukan, and so therefore everybody knew that there is a possibility that on Shabbos we may have to go and shecht this animal. Why don't we go and shecht it from Erev Shabbos? Maybe he's going to need fresh meat tomorrow, and it's not good if it's a day old. Remember, they didn't have refrigeration and they didn't have freezers in those days. And also, we don't know for sure. We just know at the moment on Erev Shabbos, the Chole Mesukin. Let's see what happens tomorrow morning. So since there was that possibility, if ultimately they do have to go and shecht on Shabbos, whether it's Bishogi or it's Vemezit, there's no Isser Mukta because they already had in their mind that it's Omedes Lishchita if and when this person is going to need it because of this Chole. Aha. And that's the reason why, according to a mayor, it's not a problem. Frank Tamar, if we're talking about a Chole Mesukin, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, the Asar. You're talking about that he had a Chole, then Rabbi Yehuda should agree to a mayor. A Chole Mesukin, you have to have Bikuch Nefesh. There's no problem of the
Shechting, Mevashel, everything, the whole thing is. Even if it were not Mesukin from Erev Shabbos, if someone became deathly ill on Shabbos,
absolutely,
it'd also be Doche Muksa, right?
Absolutely. So to my Hachi, my time in the Rebbe Yehuda, the Osar, after the Mark Kanshi, Choyle, Choyle v'Hivri. It's talking about that Erev Shabbos, he was Taka Choyle. But on Shabbos morning, Baruch Hashem, he became Bari. He woke up in the morning, eyes open, and said, Rabbi, let's go to Shul. And everybody said, wow, a Nes Nigla, it's unbelievable. Can you imagine? They said a few days ago about Giuliani. They said they already called the Galach for the last rite. And now he's walking around.
Because how kind and how good he was to the Jewish community.
Very nice.
In his time.
Okay, could be Taka Netzchah. So you see, these things happen. So therefore, Taka Erev Shabbos, there was no Isser of Muktzah, because since they had a Chayla, everything and anything was automatically within the framework of Muchan Umezuman, if we're going to need it for this Chayla. But the good news is Baruch Hashem. Good news to Baruch Hashem Hivri. He got Baruch Hashem gesund. And what happened? But the person who shechted either didn't know or stam a shoygik, right? Regardless, forgetting about the chayla, he woke up, he thought it was Friday, he thought it was Sunday, and therefore they went and shechted that day. Zokta Harashi, because of the fact that had a chayla from Erev Shabbos, there's no Issa Muktzah, because everybody knew that we might have to go and shecht. So Muktzah was off the table. The only question is now, but we have an Isra of Shabbos because someone shechted on Shabbos itself. According to Remeir, you'd be allowed to go and eat because that's what Remeir said. Hamavashul b'Shabbos, and therefore also Hashoichet b'Shabbos. He would hold if it's b'Shoigig, but both he and everybody else can eat on that day. Aye, but Rav said you're not allowed to go and eat on that day. Rav is going according to Behuda. He's not going according to Remeir. V'chihod the Omer Avacha Barad the Omer Rav Yamrilo Omer Yitzchak Barad the Omer Rav Hashoichet lechoyle b'Shabbos Osir lebori Hamavashel lechoyle b'Shabbos Mutter lebori. If a person is shechting lechoyle b'Shabbos, now this case of the shoichet lechoyle is talking about that he became sick, like Barry was speaking about a moment ago. On Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, he became sick. And now what? They went and shechted on behalf of that choyler. He needs to eat. It's osur labori. The choyler can eat. But if a bori is sitting there and saying, you cooked so much and the choyler is not eating it all.
There's no whole situation here.
Well, we'll see in a moment. Ha mevashel choyler b'Shabbos. However, if you cooked for that same choyler on Shabbos, mutter labori, then the bori is allowed to eat. My time, why is there a distinction being made between Shoichit and between Mevashel? They're both the same Isurim of Lamed Tes Malachas. My time, I'll tell you why. Hai Roy Lokus, Vai Eina Roy Lokus. In the case of the Mevashel, in both cases we have a problem of the Isser Shabbos that the person shechted on Shabbos. In both cases we have the Isser of Lechoira that happens to be Muktzah. So what's the Chilik? I says, well, I'll tell you why. Because the Mevashel Lechoira b'Shabbos means that Erev Shabbos was already geshochten, it was just raw. If it was raw, it's Roy Lokus. If it's Roy Lokus, it's no longer Muktzah from Erev Shabbos because we could have eaten it. Most of us would not eat it. But it is right to go and be chewed shaloi kedarka, and therefore there's no din of muktzah. That's why when you cooked it on Shabbos, it's mutter labari. This is Remeir l'shitasoi, that Remeir says that if you're mevashel and it happens to be we could even go l'choy according to Rabbi Yehuda too, since over here, if you're mevashel l'choy, he's taka choy l'mesukan on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and cook. So the iser bishel falls away, the iser on Shabbos. However, Why is it mutter lebari? Because there's no mukta iser, because it's roi lakus from Erev Shabbos. However, in the case of the shoichet, even though in terms of the iser of Shabbos, that's okay, because it's a pkuch nefesh, and the choyle certainly allowed to eat it from it, but the bari is not allowed to eat from it. Why not? That's the mukta iser. What was the mukta iser? Because it was any roi lakus, you weren't able to go and eat an Erev Shabbos, because it was eva menachai, it wasn't geshachted. Oh, so therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to eat. And now when this Talmud came on Shabbos, or came during the week, whenever, and he said to Rav, he said in public, even Ashoichet b'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and eat from it if it was b'Shoigeg, said Rav, 1 second. If you're talking about the Isser Shabbos Shaboy, there's really no difference between Bishul and between Shechita. But don't forget there's another Isser, and that's the Mukta Isser. The Gabi Bishul said, Rameir, I'm not worried about that Mukta Isser because it was Roy Lokus, so therefore it was already Mukhan from Erev Shabbos. It was not Mukta. However, in the case of the animal, it was still alive, and it was not Geshachtet, any Roy Lokus, and therefore it's Mukta. Therefore, Rav said, no, don't tell people that they're allowed to go and eat from it on Shabbos. Rapapa. Now, Rapapa tells us, although we have now all of the general rules and the parameters of when yes and when not, Rapapa says each case you have to look at individually. That's why you have to have always on these types of shailas a competent Rav that can go and see all angles where you are and where nisht. So, Rapapa. Pomsha shoichit mutter. Now, this case of the shoichit is the pomsha shoichit lechoyla mutter lebori lokus. Okay, so the Gemara is going to explain. Pamsha Sheikhin Mutter, sometimes when you shecht it on Shabbos, everybody's allowed to go and eat from it, even a bari. Ooh, we just said in our Sheikhin, a bari can't eat. Kigon Shehoyle, Choyle, Mabai Join. There was a Choyle already from Erev Shabbos. Since it was a Choyle from Erev Shabbos, even though this animal was still a live animal, under normal circumstances, I would say it's mukta because it's not royal locus. But since it was a choila, everybody knew that there is a significant possibility that we're going to go and check on Shabbos. It was no longer mukta midaitoi. It was already on the radar screen. We may have to go and check this on Shabbos. And if ultimately the shoichet shechted on Shabbos and he did it bishogeg, then it would be mutter not only on behalf of the Choyla, but even be mutter on behalf of the bari.
How does a killer be shogeg? I mean, if he had in mind that he was going to kill it.
He didn't know
he got healthy. The shorchet, they didn't have taxes, it was Shabbos, you couldn't use your phone. And so the shorchet was at the other end of town, and he was told, you know, this guy is very sick and he's going to need geshacht meat for lunch, otherwise he's not going to survive Shabbos. And then the guy got healthy, came to shul, said, thank God, the shochet didn't get the telegram.
Read between the lines.
He didn't get the news. The shochet didn't get the news. He shechted because he had the instructions tomorrow morning, we're going to need, this person is definitely ill, we're going to need it, so he shechted in error.
Exactly. Okay, so that says our papa, sometimes the sheikh is mutter, even a bori is allowed to go and eat from it, because there was neither an Isra Shabbos, because it was done b'shogeg, and if it was done for a choyla, so then you're allowed to go and shecht, even l'chatchili, you're allowed to shecht if you have a b'kuch nefesh situation, choyla. You have a problem that it was loy roy locus, that it was mukts until, it was not mukts until now, because I was already on my mind that we might have to go and shecht this on Shabbos because of this chola rachman mitzvah. So therefore, you can even eat, even a bari would be able to eat from the shechita. Sometimes in mevashel osur, what mean mevashel osur? In other words, a bari would not be able to eat from it, even though we're talking about a bishul. Before we said bishul, you're allowed to eat. No, he's saying sometimes the bishul, you're not allowed to eat. Kegon shekotetz loy delas. What means kotetz loy delas? That he went and cut up a gourd on behalf of the chola. What's wrong in cutting up a gourd? Kotetz, says Rashi, doesn't mean chotach. You're just cutting it on the table. It means your kotzit, you went and uprooted it from the ground or from the tree or wherever. I don't think gourds grow on trees, but they grow on the ground. Okay, they grow on vines, right? Anybody has another pewterish, perhaps?
So what's the problem if he did a malacha Shabbos of
no, Kisila? He did a kosher or whatever you want to call it.
But if the person was sick and they might need, you know, cabbage soup.
That's not talking about where he was sick.
Are we talking about a chola situation with the gourd?
Yes, very, very good. The previous case was talking about that he was a chola mib od yom. Since it was a choylem of boy joim, there was no iser muktzah, no iser Shabbos. This case of Novashlu says Rashi talking about a choyla shenechla hayoim. Today he became sick. So therefore, from Erev Shabbos, since this was still attached to the vine, everybody had in mind that this is muktzah. We can't possibly go and eat this falas on Shabbos because it's attached to the vine, unless you're going to go and sever it from the vine. But you're not allowed to sever from the vine on Shabbos. So, but we have a choyla. At that time, everybody was gesund. It was Shabbos morning that somebody woke up and said, "Oh yeah, yeah, I think I had a chas v'shalom, rachmon litzlan, a heart attack." And they called in the hatzolim and the chaverim and all the doctors and all the Indian chiefs, and they said, "He can only survive if he eats cord today." Really? Yes, he has to eat cord. The only cord that I have is attached to the ground. Well, I'm very sorry. And then he went and he cut it. So then it's going to be osulabari because you could not have even imagined eating this on Erev Shabbos because it was attached to the ground. So it was just like a case of a live animal and there was nobody that was sick, Baruch Hashem. So it was muktzah. So bari would not be able to go and eat from it.
So why did Papa switch to the gourd? Why don't you stick why is he switching from shkita to ketzira? When you can stay in Shkita and say that Hachi Mesukim Rebel.
Yes. Well, let's get back to you. Yes, Reb Shlomo. Yes.
Another piece to the gourd also. You not only have to pick it from the ground, but you have to cook it. There's no way anyone else could be able to chew on that if it's picked, freshly picked.
Very good, very good. So that's why Loshon HaGemara is Pomisha Shoichin Mutter. And Mavashel is Osir. So this Mavashel is including this koitzer that he went and cut it off the vine and then he cooked it, because as you say, it would be difficult to eat otherwise.
Double indemnity.
But I think the reason, the answer to your question, Barry, is because we said a couple of moments ago, starting from the fourth line, So anybody asked me in the street, what's it in? Shoich l'choyle b'shabbos, what's it in? Oh, bari, awesome. Mevashel l'choyle b'shabbos, what? Mutter. Says Rav Papa, not so quickly. I can find you a case of a shoich l'choyle b'shabbos that it's mutter l'bari, and I can find you a case of mevashel l'choyle b'shabbos which it's also l'bari. How would you have that? In the case of Shoich l'choyle b'shabbos, it's mutter l'bari. It's talking about that he was a choyle mi'boy joim. Since in boy joim, there's no iser of muktzah. And therefore, even a bari can go to eat. But they shechted on Shabbos. That shechit on Shabbos was totally permissible. It was a bikuch nefesh. So that was no problem. As far as the muktzah is not a problem either, because it was on the radar, because we knew already from Erev Shabbos, we might have to go and shecht. Now, the Mavashel l'choyle b'shabbos is osel l'bari, when it was totally unexpected, that he woke up in the morning and then he felt, chas v'shalom, he's going to cardiac arrest, and the only way to go and save him is going to give him these gourds and to cook them, etc. So since we didn't know about this before on Erev Shabbos, it's osel l'bari because it was totally muktzah, this delas. Om Rav Dima Menerda, Hilchasa, what's Allah Chalamaisa? Hashoich l'choyle b'shabbos mutter l'bari v'umtza. V'umtza means, says Rashi, to go and chew it, locus, not to go and eat it, but go and chew it, locus. My time, kindi efshel leksay is possible ishchita ki kashachet adayt in the choyle kashachet. What does he mean to say with this? He's saying when you're talking about shechting, you cannot go and shecht just one kazayis for the choyle. By definition, if you're shechting the entire animal, and so therefore, in terms of the shechita, there's no problem because it's as if he's doing it both for the choyle and for the bari. Bari can eat. Yeah, but don't I have a problem of that it was muktzah? The only thing you can do is you cannot go and eat it properly. You can only go and do an umtzah, a locus. Why can I even do a locus? Why isn't it muktzah? Says Rashi, we're talking about that he was a choyle meboy jayim. He was already choyle from Friday.
The bari, you should be like Rabbi Yehuda. You can't eat until Motzei Shabbos.
How do we pasquin? Do we pasquin like Rabbi Yehuda or pasquin like Rameh? Said the Yomar in the Yomid Aleph. Rav said to all his Talmidim quietly, we paskal like Rameh. Pirka like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to argument. You cannot go and cook it now for the bari. You can go and shecht for the choyle, and the bari can go and eat it. Umtza lokos. Why don't you go and say it's muktza? It's not muktza because it was choyle boy by yoy. My time, I came to Yeshua, because I was possible to shechita, ki kashachet adayta the choyle kashachet. So therefore, adayta the choyle of yesterday, no problem. Hamavash lechoyle b'shabbos also lebari. Why is it also lebari? Because if once you're going to go and tell me I'm cooking for the choyle, then the cook may say, you know, let's put in one more gourd or another piece of meat or something else in addition. You know, and never know it afterwards. The choyle
might come,
and the choyle may. And the choyle might have a terrible, voracious appetite. He hasn't eaten in 3 days. That's why he's been so choyle. And that's and then, of course, what are they going to do? They have in mind for the briyam that you're now let it go and cook for the briyam.
So it goes according to the das of the person doing it. It goes according to the kavana. Is that what we're saying? That the kavana of the person determines the level of heter iser in the action in the case of shchita and Shabbos?
I think what the Gemara is telling us is the gabi shchita, we're assuming that one shchita is going to be enough for the next 50 people or 100 people. So I don't have to worry that if I'm going to allow for a shchita for a chole, then Chas v'Shalom might go and check the second animal for the bria. That I'm not worried about, because one shchita is a shchita for everybody. If somebody really wants to go and eat, even a bari, eat, but you have to go and eat it when it's raw, not cooked. However, if you're going to allow bishul for chayla b'Shabbos, so then that already opens up a major Pandora's box. Because when you're cooking, by the definition, you don't just cook a little kezayis, you always cook a more and more. And so therefore, the briyam are going to see an opening over here to go and get freshly cooked food on Shabbos. They're going to try to attach themselves to a nebuch ha-chayla mesukan. Oh, you're cooking anyway? Maybe.
Adopt the holy this Shabbos.
Adopt the holy, yeah. Okay, on to the next mission.
Especially this Shabbos.
Look, the Mishnah, now we're going to discuss which instruments you can use for shachting. We're always familiar with your sakin or your chalif, but now we're going to tell us about other things. It doesn't have to be a chalif. Hashoich v'magol yad, if you're going using a hand sickle. Bitzur, or if you're using a rock. Ubekona, or if you're using a very sharp reed. We had this reed before, even for shechting kochim we had before.
So it shouldn't become tameh.
Exactly. Since it's not mekabel tuma, then you can shecht, but be careful.
The first of the six on Namud Beis.
Yeah, exactly. They're very good. Good memory, as always. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, shechitosik sher, no problem. It's mashma shechitosik sher, l'chetchila, not only b'diyevet, and that's how we start off the Gemara immediately, ashrecha diyevet in l'chetchila. Why can't you use these l'chetchila? We'll see in a moment. And then the Mishnah continues on Hakel Shachtin, Uli Olam Shachtin, Ubakel Shachtin. What is this Hakel Bakel Olam Bakel Mikol Kol? What's this all about? So Rashi says Hakel Shachtin Olam Shachtin. Mefarish Bigmar. Just wait and Mir Tashem. We'll have it tomorrow. Ubakel Shachtin is now the introduction to the next tikkun. You can use any instrument, but there are some that you cannot use. Chutz Mimagel Kotzir, VaHamegera, VaHashinayim, VaHatzipoyden, Memneisha Hain Choinkim. We're talking about magel kotzer. Magel kotzer is not the same as a magel yad. We're going to see in the Gemara momentarily that magel yad had a double-sided blade. One side of the blade was sharp, just like a chalif, no niches. On the other side, however, there it was serrated. That's the way a magel yad was made. A magel kotzer, everything was serrated. There were no sharp, smooth,
straight
sides. Everything was serrated. No good. Vamegera is a saw, like you used to go and cut down trees, or cut lumber. Vashinaim, it doesn't mean that you use your own teeth. Rashi says you're using the teeth, tchuvim belechi shel behema. You have an animal that either died or that you shechted, and now it has a very nice series of teeth, and you want to go and use that for shechting. No good. Vatzipoyin, the same thing as if you have an animal that had claws, and you want to use those claws for purposes of shechting. No good. Nishen choikim. All of these are choinik. Of course, we know this halacha because we've had it already a few times, but this is where the Mishnah really goes and codifies it and tells us that ikur, which means not cutting with a smooth, flat, sharp blade, but rather anything which is serrated, anything which has nooks in it, niches, no good, because they're choinkim. They're not slicing and shechting, but rather they're suffocating and causing the premature death of this animal.
Interesting that Malika uses the tziporin of the Kohen.
Yeah, yeah, from the other side.
Yeah.
Not even close to a shechita. Zokhi Moro, we started with Shoichim Magal Yad, Diyavit in Lechatchil Eloi. Bishlim Magal Yad, I understand why Lechatchil Enat, because Tum Asir Lemebet Be'idach Kisa. We said that a Magal Yad has two sides to the blade. One side which is smooth and the other side which is serrated. So by accident, he might use the other side. Stay away from it, lechatchil. But the Yemen, if you did a good job, is good. Why not? Or a mini? You can go and shecht with everything. We had this Mishnah already also at the beginning of the perik, at the beginning of the sechta. You can go and shecht with a sharpened stone. You can go and take with a sharp glass. You can even take the kana, which we just spoke about. So two out of the three cases, the tzur and the kana, in our Mishnah we say, b'diyevet shchitosik sheira, and there's it b'kol shochten, even l'chad chela, is the chastira. Every more like kasha. Kan betolush, kan be mechuba. It depends whether or not you're talking about something which is mechuba la karka, like the tzur, the boulder, the rock, is attached to the floor, or attached to a wall, a natural wall, or krimi shulkana, where the reed, in fact, is still standing in the marshes, it hasn't been uprooted yet. So kan betolush, kan be mechuba. That what? If it's tolush, you can use it even lechat chila, like it would be a regular chalif. No problem. If it's a mechuber, lechat chila not, but the evidence okay. Now, what's the reason why? Diom Rav Kahana, hashoichim mechuber lekarka, Rabbi Poisel. Rabbi says if it's mechuber, it's possible. Our Gemara today doesn't tell us the reason why he holds that it's possible, but Rashi tells us in Amichim, tomorrow we're going to learn where do we find the first documented shechita in the Torah. We find by Akedas Yitzchak, that Avram Avinu took the chalif and shechted the
ayol.
What did he shecht with? Vayikach es ha'amacheles. Macheles means a chalif. Sword, knife, something very,
wasn't
very sharp.
Wasn't it before when the angels came to eat, he told Sarah to go cook two giddies?
Actually, that's a good point.
Yeah, but I don't know that he did a shechita at that time.
Avram Avinu, even Erev Tchumen, what are you talking about? Of course he did shechita. He's explicit.
It's not explicit in the Torah. What you're saying is right. We're going to assume that Taki did a wonderful job, Shkoyach, but it doesn't say how he shechted it. Yeah, he shechted it, but how? Maybe he did it with something which was mechuber. So the first time that we find a real live shechita with the Torah says, Vayikach es ha'macheles lishchet es benoi. He took the chalif to go and chas v'sholem shecht his son, but he didn't go and shecht his son, he shechted the aisle. So we see that you have to have a kli. That's how Rebbe said. If it's mechuba lekark, it's not a kli. Pasol. Because b'chi ha'machshir, b'chi doesn't learn that drasha, that has to be dafka kli. Even if it's mechuba lekark, it's kosher. Okay, so we see obviously that there is a machloikis that gabi mechuber. But how does this answer the stira that we have? When did Rabbi Chiya said it's kosher? B'diavad. He said, I also agreed to my colleague, to Rebbe. It was his nephew, no? Well, Rabbi Chiya was an uncle of Rav.
Rabbi Chiya was a chavar muvak of Rebbe.
Oh, a talmud muvak. So he was an uncle of Rav, right?
Yes. As Rebbe,
from both sides, yeah. Morim Sachim, the Gimme, good. Exactly. So the Gemara says now, he also agrees that don't use mechuber, only go and use something which is metalkal. In other words, a kli. Aha. Okay, so then, how we zetzing ein our Mishnah, b'mayukim, to our Mishnah that says, hashoichet, which is mashma b'diyaved, that you can go and use a tzur mitakana, the choyer b'mayukim, to k'rabchia u'diyaved, that that's how you have to fend for our Mishnah, that's talking about the Yavin according to Reb Chiya. El Horesanya, but I have another brisa. Bakol shochten bein betolish bein b'mechuber. Bein betolish b'mechuber. Bakol shochten means even l'chat chila. Bein betolish b'mechuber. Bein shasakin l'mala v'tzavar b'hem l'mata. Bein shasakin l'mata v'tzavar b'hem l'mala. It makes no difference how you go and shecht. We normally think of shechita where the behem is lying on the floor and you shecht it that way with on the tzavar.
Like on the base of Mikdash on the floor.
Very good. However, you can also do shechita where the behemah is standing up and its neck is extended upwards, and then the shoich, the shechting from underneath. And there are places even today where they shecht that way. Obviously, you have to be a very, very good, a very sharp shoich, and you have to have a sharp knife to be able
now
to perform.
Now they get upside
down, no? There are different batei shechita. Some batei shechita have it on the floor, and some batei shechita have the animal standing, and they're holding it in a cage, and then they have something that lifts up the neck. Okay, anyway, go and visit your favorite base of shechita, and you'll see. It's Okti Mar. So Mani, this brisa says that you're allowed to go and shecht l'chila b'mechuber. Mani, loy Rebbe, v'loy Reb Chiya. Why? Because I Reb Chiya only dievet in l'chad chilalai. Because that's how you interpret it on Mishnah, that it goes in according to Reb Chiya, and the Reb Chiya says, it's kosher b'dievet, but not l'chad chilalai. According to Rebbe, he says it's possible. That's what Rebbe said. Yomer of Kahana, Sheikhim of Kumlakaka, Rebbe passed, which means even b'di'evin. So who's the Tana that says that you can even lichat chila, Sheikh b'mechor? Every mal oiler mabchia, fafila lichat chila, even lichat chila ulta, behind the kamifliki, b'di'evin, b'di'echa koichoi de Rebbe. The reason why Rebbe Chia was arguing with Rebbe, whether it's kosher, b'di'evin or not, to go and tell you the koich of Rebbe, that Rebbe holds it even le b'di'evin, it's possible. Not only lechatchila, but even b'di'evin. But the truth of the matter is, Rebbe Chia holds it, it's even kosher lechatchila. So if you go back to that Rav Kahana, ha-shoichet b'mechum l'karka, Rebbe poisel, Rebbe pasel, even b'di'evin. Rebbe Chia says, ma'achshir, it's kosher even lechatchila to go and use mechum l'karka. Oh, so that answers that braisa that we just said, that bein shasa, bein betolish, bein b'mechubar, akul shochtem l'chadchila. Ve'al masith nektoni, asher kadir, v'diavet in l'chadchila loy, mani. So then, our Mishnah is now without an author. It's now like a yosem. Loy Rebbe v'loy Rebbe Chia. Why can't it go according to Rebbe Rebbe Chia? Ir Rebbe Chia fil l'chadchila. You just told me that Rebbe Chia holds even like that braisa. Ba'akul shochtem, bein b'mechubar, even l'chadchila. Our Mishnah says only b'di'evin. He Rebbe di'evin nami loy, because he requires a kli, v'yikach ha'sam ha'chelos. Lo'oylam Rebbe Chia v'afel l'chad chila. U'masiz n'ktoni ha'shoichit, Rebbe he. That's going according to Rebbe, that b'di'evin you're allowed to go and use something which is mechubah, not l'chad chila. B'di'evin you're allowed to use mechubah l'kak. Fake tomorrow. And it's not now kasha to Rebbe yad Rebbe. You told me before, that price is very, very clear. The Yom Rav Kahana, Ha'ashoichim M'mchub L'Kaka Rebbe Poisel. Poisel means even B'di'evet. And you're saying our Mishnah holds Ha'ashoichet B'di'evet, it's Kusha, Shkitosik Sheira. Loi Kasha, Kam B'mchub Meikari, Kam B'tolich L'Psoif Chibroi. It all depends whether it was Mechub Meikari. In other words, this has never been severed from the Karka. If it's never been severed, says Rebbe, parcel, it's got to be the ikach ha-samachelis, it has to be a kli, that you can go move around. If it was originally told that it was a good sakin, what did you do with the sakin? Now you super glue and you cemented it against the wall. Now it became mechubah. Of course, we're not talking about a sakin, we're talking about over here a tsur or a konev. So let's talk about lemushel. I'm sorry?
Magnetic.
Okay, good. So what means like a tsur? A tsur, you could have a tzur that has been like that from sheshes and may breshes, that has never been uprooted from the ground. That would be mechubar meikaroi. That would be possible even b'di'evet, says Rashi. But you could also have a situation where this tzur had been dug up from the ground, and now you're using it, for instance, as building material to go and build this nice, beautiful wall, which is made out of stone, and you place this stone into the wall. So it was tolish v'lub seif chibroi. Says Rebbe, under the slow circumstances, l'chadchila, don't do it, because it looks like it was always mechubah l'karka, v'ikachas mechalas. But since l'maisa, it was at one time a kli, even though you now reattached to the wall, so l'chadchila, no good, but the evidence kushin. This sounds like a very remote pshat. Where did you ever find this distinction? Oh, this is we have a braisa. Ha'shoichet b'muchni, shchitosik sheira. What means ha'shoichet b'muchni? Rashi says all the way in the bottom, muchni means galgal, shekoyden tour. What do you do? V'hishke boy hasakin, chudai lamala, v'galgal, or gilgal, v'shochad. When I learned this initially, I thought to myself, this is probably the predecessor of the machine matzis. In other words, years ago, they used to go and put every single dough into the oven. And then when they discovered that you can do it with a machine, and by the way, the word muchni, and machine, may have the same type of makar, machine, muchni, right? I would expect you to say that. Okay, so what did you do? Instead of the shaykhir having to go and shecht on his own, put the knife inside this machine and have the animals line up one after the other, and then just go and have this gal go and it'll go through.
Don't you have koach adam for shechita?
Don't you have to have koach adam for matzahs? So what is what's the heter? They say, well, you have to push the button. That's the koyach of the adam, and that's what he says. I'm making the matzah lishma, and then the machine starts working. So he's going to put the thing in. Okay, I push the machine now.
Makes a bracha.
Exactly. Machinations. Now this muchni, of course, didn't work on electricity in the times of Chazal. This worked with a galgal. So maybe he's still koyach adam. He's the one that's turning the wheel, just like when you're turning it for grinding, or turning it for you know, water mill or for a hand mill, you go and mill it with your hand. So here too, this mukhmi can also be. But he didn't do the actual shkita. It was the knife that's on the machine that's doing the shkita. So
Hashoykh
mukhmi shkhesa ksheira. What happens to mechubala karka? Oh, it's attached to the karka. Oh, that's a different story. In other words, you have a knife attached to the karka. Shkitosa ksheira. Now, not sakin bekoisel, which is similar to what we're talking about. Vishochet ba shkitosa ksheira. He took the sakin, put it in the wall, and then you had the animals pass underneath it or pass over it. All of this is fascinating. But now let's get to the safe of the brisa. Ho yitzur yoytzim in a koisel. You have a tzur that's coming out of the wall. Oy kon oy lemeyelav. We have a kana that's growing out of the ground. V'shachem boy shchitasi psula. Then it's possible. One second. We said a moment ago that if it was mechubala karka, right, the brisa begins. Shoyich v'muchni kosher. Mechubala karka shchitasi ksheir. Now we're saying if the tzur is yoytzim in a koisel or a kana oy lemeyelav shchitusa psula. Frey timora kashin adad. It's a chastira reisha v'seifa. Is mechubala karka mutur? Is it azer? When it said in the Reish Mechubala Karka means that it was originally uprooted from the Karka and then you subsequently attached it to the Karka. Oh, the Midiyevish could also say. Seif is talking about the Tzur Yoytzim and Akoysel or the Kana Oilu Me'elav that it was never uprooted. It was Mechubala Me'ikarai. Such a case, Yachabai Shchitosei Psula. Shema Amino, with this we have taken a very good teretz, understanding the prices with the Mishnah, Yisai, according to Rabbi, Yisai, according to Priya. Have a wonderful